Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Now, whether you're an elf, a barbarian, a wizard or a human, the benefits of playing Dungeons and Dragons can be great for your mental health. Well, that's according to UCC research, which identified escapism and social support as key aspects of the tabletop game. Orla Walsh is PhD researcher in UCC School of Applied Psychology, and she's been looking into this. She joins us now. Orla, you're very welcome. So maybe just for those people who aren't familiar with Dungeons and Dragons or D&D, how would you describe it?
Hi, thanks so much for having me. So for those who don't know, Dungeons and Dragons is a role-playing game. So it's what I like to call creative or collaborative storytelling. So we have one player who we refer to as the Dungeon Master, and they set the scene and guide the story, while other players play as characters that they've created and roll dice to determine the outcomes of some of their actions.
Okay, and it's very popular among a certain cohort of people who are, you know, total converts, really. You've been playing this for a while yourself, is that right?
Yeah, for about 5 years, I think. I started maybe the year before COVID, so maybe even longer.
And you found it was good for your mental health? Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, definitely. So when I started playing, I saw the impact on my mental health almost immediately. And that made me really interested in other players' experiences. And luckily at the time, I had just started my master's in UCC in psychology. So I used my master's project to explore that. So we had loads of really interesting findings about the ways that people find it beneficial.
Can I ask you a little bit more about it? Let's say we're playing, right? Me, you and Sarah.
Yeah.
And you're the dungeon master, right?
Yes. Like,
do I make up my own character or is there a guide as to what my character is? Or
so you can make your own character. So there's so many different. So you choose a class and you choose a race. So essentially, it's kind of what your character looks like and what their job is. So at the moment, I'm playing a character and she's a rogue. So she's really sneaky. And she's a heron gone. So she looks like a rabbit. So you have this character and you can keep this character for as long as you want, really, or until the character dies.
Okay.
So there are people who've been playing their characters for 20 years.
Oh, really? Oh, holy cripes. Wow. So you take your character along with you through the ages, let's say. And what's
you
the aim of the game then?
I guess to have fun sounds a bit cheesy, but in the game you explore and you fight dragons. And I guess you can cover lots of different topics in the game too that maybe you wouldn't come up against in your real life.
Okay,
so for example, if a character...
Yeah, sorry, go on. Yeah, the example, yeah.
No, so like if a character, let's say, dies in game, you have to deal with that and mourning the character in game. So it's interesting that way.
Is there a winner? Sorry, just before you jump in, sir. Is there a winner?
No.
Really?
No. Yeah, I mean, you can win battles in it, but overall, really, I wouldn't say there's a winner. You can get to the top level, so level 20 is the strongest your character will become. And that's the top level. So I guess you could see that as winning in a way, because that would take a very long time to get to, years.
All right. So then you found mental health benefits. Tell me about that then, and tell me about your research.
Yeah. So there were lots of different things that we found in the research. Some things that might be a bit expected. So things like social support and creative expression. But I suppose for me, the most interesting finding was that a lot of the players I spoke to used D&D as a tool to navigate their real life problems. Hmm. So, for example, we had a participant who was really struggling with her confidence in her day to day life. So she created this character who was super outspoken, maybe even a little bit bossy, always said what she wanted to say. And she found that by practicing that over and over and being that character, she was able to bring those elements into her everyday life and be, you know, advocate for herself more.
Wow, that is amazing.
Fascinating,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's super cool. Yeah.
And was it things like that that people sort of have their alter ego almost, or are able to express themselves? Was that the main reason for the mental health benefits, or is it just being able to escape into another world?
Escapism was another thing as well, just being able to, you know, people talked a lot about being stressed at work or being stressed about money. And for those few hours, you're pretending to be someone else, your phone's off, and you're totally, you know, just engaged with this activity and you're thinking about you know, being someone else and taking actions as someone else. And you can kind of forget about your everyday troubles when you're doing that.
Do you know what you're describing in a way? You're describing the old adage of fake it till you make it. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
If you're not confident, just pretend you're confident or take on this persona or a character. And the other thing that strikes me, Orla, is that you have a sense of community. Isn't that right from this?
Absolutely. I find, and one of the things that the participants spoke about was how quickly you develop friendships and how quickly you develop kind of deeper friendships with people, just because of, I suppose, the way you role play. And as I said, you cover so many topics and you kind of get to know each other very fast. And I've made a lot of my closest friends through playing.
Really?
So could this be actually used then actively as a therapy tool, do you think? I mean, could it almost be prescribed for people? Try playing Dungeons and Dragons.
It can definitely be used therapeutically. So when I first started thinking about this as a research idea, I did some research into whether anyone was doing that. And I found that there was a few people in the US who run therapeutic groups, but just, I suppose, the research wasn't there. And that's where I wanted to come in. But I think it can definitely be used therapeutically to, you know, maybe look at anxiety and look at different things like that.
And in terms of the social aspect of it, do people meet up outside of the game or does that sort of defeat the point?
No, you meet up with people outside of the game as well, and maybe you might meet them that way, but I think the friendships always kind of expand further then.
Do you know what? Can I tell you a little secret, Orla? When you were describing the game, I looked across confused at Sarah, and she looked across kind of confused at me as well. And then when you said there was no winner, I really gnawed at my soul. But actually, I was missing the point completely. And you've totally swung me around to Dungeons & Dragons, I must say.
Good. It really is so much fun.
So if people are listening, they're curious. What do you need to play this?
So you only, honestly, all you need are a set of dice. So in D&D, you use specific dice. There's like a 20-sided dice and there's a bunch of different types. But that's kind of all you need, like physically. But there's so many groups around the country for people to join. You know, if you don't know anyone who plays, I know in Cork, there's a group of like 60 people who meet every week. So there's definitely those groups out there for people if they want to get into it and give it a try.
Brilliant.
And everyone's really welcoming in the community as well. Everyone's really nice.
Orla, thank you so much. You can be whoever you want.
Yeah, well done.
Whoever you've always wanted to be. I love the idea of it. Orla, it's really interesting to speak to you and thank you so much. That's Orla Walsh, who's PhD researcher in UCC School of Applied Psychology. Lots of people getting in touch with the longest names of places. I'm going to try one of them. Newtown Monine Lugga. I'm definitely pronouncing that wrong. In County Kildare.
Newtown Monine Lugga, County Kildare. The other one, Carrick Ballydewey the Glebe, but in County Donegal. Is that not two townlands stuck together there?
What's
They're
your
cheating
one again?
In Donegal. Carrick Ballydewey the Glebe.
Okay, and say your one.
And
it's close.
I feel like periodically throughout this programme she's going to ask me to say Michael and Hidra Gohalia. Anyway, let me bring some entertainment news to people. This evening, Irish actor Andrew Scott has been nominated for an Emmy Award for his leading role in the acclaimed Netflix miniseries Ripley. As a producer on Ripley, Scott has also received an Emmy nomination for Outstanding Limited or Anthology Series. The black and white series was created, written and directed by Steve Zalian and was based on Patricia Highsmith's 1955 novel, The Talented Mr. Ripley.